72HourPrint.com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing signage and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72HourPrint.com. That's 72HRPrint.com. The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by West Shore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, West Shore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with our producer extraordinaire, Mr. Matthew Matera.
Hello, everyone.
Our long-winded co-host here, Taylor Jenkins.
I'll keep it short. Hello.
That was longer than Matt's.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he can always stretch it.
He should have just said hi.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what we're looking for, right?
And the last voice you hear, of course, is the man, the boss, the legend, the guy who's been here longer than virtually anybody in this building
besides Scott Smith,
that would be Mr. Scott Wayne Johnson hyphenated Reynolds.
Just Scott Reynolds.
What is your middle name?
It's SR.
Robert. What is the middle name? I'm going to have to do some digging on
Robert.
That. I've got the coolest middle name out of all four of you guys.
Johan, get to the chopper.
I'm not sure if they're going to let me in the Heathrow with that middle name. They're still pretty pissed about WW2, I think, over in London.
If I could change my middle name, I would change it to Garrido.
That's a good name.
I would.
For a good man.
A hell of a good man.
Great guy.
Matter of fact, the Pewter Nation podcast is presented by our good friend Chris Garrido at West Shore Financial, the official financial sponsor of PewterReport.com. I'll admit it, I was that guy. That guy who thought he had enough life insurance. That guy who didn't put nearly enough money away for my retirement. Guys, I procrastinated. Don't be like me. Call Chris Garrido and let his team at West Shore Financial come up with a sound strategy to protect your family's future. Chris told me it's never too late to bolster my retirement and life insurance, and he's right. So if you are like me, Chris will put you on the path to sound investment and retirement strategies, but don't wait. I've known Chris for a decade and was a client of his before West Shore Financial became the sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. I trust him with my retirement. Call Chris Garrido today at 813-434-0037 for a complimentary, no-obligation, preliminary conversation about your finances and your life insurance and your retirement, and you'll be glad you did.
You know what, Scott? I'm just going to have to break down and do it.
Already met Chris.
I met Chris this week. He's a good guy, and he really convinced me. And, you know, he talked me into coming and seeing him because apparently my prison correspondence with Bernie Madoff learning Ponzi schemes is probably not the best route to secure my family's financial future.
Yeah, it's really not that sound strategy I was talking about.
I mean, you can make a lot of money doing it, apparently, but I think the government frowns on Ponzi schemes.
It is one fraught with peril. So so I guarantee you,
right,
when you talk with Chris Garrido and West Shore Financial, they have sound investment and retirement strategies for you.
Will he accept a collect call? That way I can save money.
Yes, but his office is conveniently located. He's like 10 minutes away from one buck place.
Oh. So. Will he pay for my Uber?
No, but he'll meet with you for free.
Okay. Well, I'm going to check out Chris. Good people. And I had a great chance to, as you said, meet him last week and some of his crew. And, yeah, definitely excited about seeing him. And, you know, I don't know how I can cut Bernie off from the prison letters, but maybe he'll understand. Anyway.
I think Bernie will understand.
I hope so. OTA number 30. Felt like today?
Felt like it, yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like it was Groundhog's Day, too, because it seemed like we saw this same drill last week and the week before.
Yeah, and it was also really, really hot, too.
Warm.
Yeah,
warm.
They had it on the surface of the sun today.
My boob sweat has finally receded, and my shirt's not soaking wet now, so that's a good sign.
Yeah.
What did we learn from today that we haven't learned before, guys?
It was Anthony Eller's birthday.
That's true.
And he had a hell of a day catching the ball today.
Yep, love those Frenchies.
Yeah, he really did. He he was great. And of course, I tried to get Anthony a little birthday love by asking Bruce Arians about his day to day, because he was catching everything, and he was a feature target down the seam. And here's the inside scoop for you Buck fans. You're going to see a ton of passes down the seam to the tight ends, to the wide receivers. It's going to be more in the middle of the field than it will be in the perimeter. And that's
I don't know why they would do that. That's not where Jameis Winston really had his success in college, was it, Scott?
Actually, it was.
Yeah, you're absolutely
right. It really was.
Hello, Dirk Cutter.
Yeah.
Just a thought. Again, listen, you know, it's fun and it's easy to pick on Dirk now because he's gone and he donated all the shirts to Salvation Army. But the point is, this was still one of the best offenses in the league.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's not sad. The scary thing is, as I wrote in the mailbag yesterday,
could have been better.
It can even be better.
Yeah.
And it should be. I think it's going to be just as good, if not better, this year.
Yeah. So I asked Bruce about Anthony LeClair, and he's like, oh, he's going to be a blocker.
Oh, boy.
That's the first words out of his mouth.
Just shut it down. Yeah, yeah, he's
a
blocker.
You know what? But
he's a good kid.
They need a blocker. I mean, Alan, my son, is gone.
Cross
is gone.
Yeah.
So you need that kind of – that he's not dead.
Oh, he's not?
No,
he's just back to school. You know, kid going away to college.
Like Rodney Dangerfield going back to school.
Yeah.
And so
Triple Lindy.
They named that guy. Look, I love O.J. Howard, but if you've got this guy inline blocking 70% of the game, you're wasting a ton of talent.
Agreed.
That guy's got to be out making plays, exploiting defenses. And people ask me all the time, you know, who am I most excited about this year? Who's going to have a breakout year? I don't know if you can call it a breakout year because he had a tremendous rookie season and a very good follow-up year last year, but I really think this guy is Pro Bowl material, and I think he can be one of the top three tight ends in the league, and I think he has a good chance of being a Pro Bowler this year if he can play 16 games.
I agree, and I think, too, you're not going to see an offensive coordinator slash play caller slash head coach forget about him in a couple of games either.
I don't know who would have done that.
Previous regime.
Yeah, that's true.
It was kind of maddening because you would see OJ, especially as a rookie, right, where – you know, the Giants game, the Bills game, and then he goes a game or two. The Dolphins game, he had a great game.
Yeah.
And then he just goes a couple games without even – it's like he's an afterthought.
Right.
And I'd go one step further. I'd say more than Pro Bowl caliber. I think he's potentially an All-Pro caliber. I mean, you look at this guy. He dwarfs Mike Evans. He ran a faster 40 time than Mike
dwarfs.
Evans. Yes. I can still remember when they
was
took
he 7.5 foot tall?
I mean, nobody. He's got like an inch and a half on him.
Are you thinking of
thicker.
Adam Humphries or Scotty Miller?
I mean, I remember when the first promo picks came out when O.J. Howard got into the building, and it was O.J. Howard and Mike Evans standing side by side. Yeah. And you look, every part of him is just like his shoulders are broader, his arms are bigger, his legs, his calves. Like
you're making some
guy.
Points,
and he ran a faster 40 time than Mike. He's just an athlete. I'm not saying he's better than Mike Evans, but he's
like
a wide receiver in a tight end's body. He's a freak. He's huge.
Yeah, but I'm telling OJ, and I think OJ is going to agree.
Yeah, he probably would. I'll tell you who he didn't dwarf is when he and I did a What's Cooking episode last year. We looked exactly the same size standing side by side.
Not really.
No?
No.
Andrew had to back
you
up
could,
a long way to get both of us in the shot because
you
I was
could
so
step
short.
On like 11 phone booths.
Phone books.
Yeah. Yes, phone books. Sorry, the heat's getting to me. Holy smoke.
Yeah.
It was hot today.
I don't recommend anybody going back and watching that What's Cooking episode because I was forced to wear Clemson gear. That's the one I hate the most of all of them.
That was probably in my top three of What's Cooking episodes. I thought it was funny. You know, you brought up O.J. Simpson. You guys did the I think he chugged orange juice, too. It was a funny episode. They're all good.
I assume what was it like being in the back of that Bronco? He didn't really like that.
Yeah, you didn't like being in the Clemson gear, and I'm sure like O.J. Didn't like looking at it.
Well, that's true, and I did point out the stadium just across the street here
where
he could have had another national championship, but he didn't.
That's right.
Oh, well. All right, so we were into the OTAs. We've got one more OTA, which will be on Friday, and then minicamp, and then these guys have about a seven-week break before training camp starts. Football's going to be here soon, guys.
Yes.
Sooner than you know it.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the things that Bruce Arians mentioned today, because there was a lot of missing offensive linemen today, and we know that Ryan Jensen likes to barbecue, and apparently there was
Bad barbecue?
Bad barbecue. It might have been the bad beer at the barbecue. There might have been some hangovers today at One Buck Place just because Memorial Day was yesterday. And, we know that offensive linemen like to eat and drink a lot.
Yes.
And yesterday was the day to do it. And so as a result, we saw Caleb Benenach at right guard, which was a scary sight.
Mm.
I thought my eyes were deceiving me when I first saw it. I was expecting, you know, maybe Alex Kappa to get the first.
Yeah, Kappa wasn't even there.
He was not out there.
He was
too much hungover barbecue. Too.
I'm not saying he was hungover, but something happened at the barbecue, either from a food or a beverage consumption standpoint.
You got to be careful with pork.
True, and beer.
And beer. I don't know that.
Or whatever.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Just saying.
If you're hungover from beer, you may be an alcoholic. You have to drink a lot of beer.
Yeah,
to be hungover.
You have to drink
beer.
As much as like Andre the Giant did back in the day.
Yeah. Like 70
with
cans.
With your kegs.
Beer is what you drink when you want to get drunk, but also stay hydrated. So it's like you can't. It's hard to get too hungover from beer.
I wouldn't know. I don't drink at all.
Loser. Just saying.
Better man
you
than
do.
I. No, I don't. You've never seen me drink.
You drink an angry ginger at Ford's Garage. Is it only because it's your namesake?
Yes.
Is that why?
Yes, of course.
You feel an obligation?
And I told him no alcohol.
What's the point?
It was just root beer or ginger ale or something. I don't remember.
Yeah. So the offensive line was out there today.
Kind of.
A little shorthanded, kind of.
We did see Donovan and the tackles were Donovan and DeMar were out practicing.
Yes.
I thought DeMar would definitely take today off.
Huh?
I thought DeMar would definitely take today off. I mean, he's a veteran. Yeah, make it a four-day weekend for him.
He's got something to prove. I talked to him at the end of the OTA from last week. I wrote about it in the Fab Five. DeMar Dotson is really healthy. I had an off-the-record conversation with him, and I say off-the-record meaning it wasn't like top secret, so I'm going to share what I had. I just didn't record it and do quotes on it.
Right.
But I asked him, I said, you know, Bruce, and I forget whether it was at the quotes that I got at the combine or the quotes that you got from the owners meeting, but one of those two meetings, Bruce said that was asked about DeMar, and he said, well, you know, we're not going to put guys in position where they
can't that was the owners meeting
things.
Where he said, you know, he's, you know.
Right, and I was trying to say, hey, is it good to have a coach kind of have your back a little bit? You know, I said, you know, I'm not picking on you, DeMar, but you had the knee injury last year, and guys were cutting – right off your face in the run game and making plays down the line of scrimmage. And he basically said, yeah, screw that, man. No, he's like, that fires me up. Like, I want to be able to do this. If a coach says I can't do something, I want to show them that I can. I don't want to be the weak link. And he said, and by the way, like, I could not practice last offseason. I had the knee surgery.
Yeah.
He says, I wasn't healthy at all last year. And he says, I feel great this year.
Yeah.
And he does have a knee brace on as a protective protective measure, but – he is feeling great, and I think this is his last year of his contract, and
right.
I think he wants to go out with the bang.
I don't would be surprised if he wants to play for a couple more years somewhere else,
agreed.
Even if it's not here, because DeMar likes to earn that paycheck, as most of these guys do. But the thing I like about DeMar, I remember him last year, the very last game, and we were asking him about Dirk Cutter and being fired, and he goes, I'm not worried about Dirk Cutter. I'm worried about my job next year. I want to stay here. I want to keep my job.
And some fans took that to mean like every man for himself. He's not a team player, but that's you got to know DeMar.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
DeMar is a team player, and you know nobody has lost more.
But he's not unrealistic to know that as an older veteran guy, an offensive lineman.
Yeah. Your days are numbered.
Your days are numbered, right. And you know he wants to collect that $4.5 million or whatever it is this year. So.
Yes.
Hopefully he can. He's a good guy. He's a good friend of Peter Report and a great source of information and always a good quote. Stand-up guy. Doesn't matter how bad they get beat or what happens, he's always a guy we can count on to get a quote in the locker room after games.
Yeah, big-time stand-up guy. And he will – there's no bullshit with that guy.
Yeah.
He will tell you exactly what's on his mind, and that's what you have to love about him from a journalistic standpoint, is somebody who will, whether it's on or off the record, like tell it like it is.
Yeah.
And there are other guys in that locker room, but he's at the top of the list when it comes to that.
He's not a cliche guy either, which is good.
You know, Bo Allen's kind of that way too.
Mm-hmm.
Bo's a little guarded. He won't like dish the state secrets out, but he also doesn't pull any punches either. And when we saw Bo Allen for the first time this offseason, we're like, wow, Bo looks bigger. I was even talking to Andy Sabo today. News Channel 8, and she's
Andy.
Like, Annie.
Andy Sabo?
Annie.
Andy Sabo.
A-N-N-I-E.
How do you say that?
Annie.
N-I.
No.
Annie. Got it.
I feel like I'm in Step Brothers here.
I don't know who that is.
New John
Sabo.
C. Riley. Anyways, so and she said, she's like, is it me or does Bo Allen look bigger? I said, no, everyone said that, and that's exactly the case. He does look bigger.
You
should
have
like
said, Annie,
giant.
I'm going to tell Bo you said he's fat.
No, I asked Bo.
Out.
I said, Bo, you look bigger. And he's like, is it a good weight or bad weight? I said, it's really good weight. You're carrying it really well. Like, his arms, his thighs, in his midsection, chest, everything looks bigger, shoulders. And he said that he's played around 340 before, about 330, 340. And he said last year he was probably closer to 315, but he's closer to like 340 right now. He's in the 330s. And he said, I may get up there, and I may not. But
I actually felt kind of sorry for Andy Sabo today. Because you and Taylor both had her cornered and would not let her get a word. You guys were just...
She had us cornered.
It was
she
like...
She was asking questions.
It was just story after story. And Wren from the PewterCast was like, I had to leave because I think Scott was getting ready to tell him about his broken finger, his block punt in high school story.
It wasn't broken.
You've told everyone that story numerous times.
I have not told any Sabo that story. I won't.
I'm just surprised. Are you sure you didn't?
I only mention it twice a year in the podcast.
I'm going to call Andy and ask him if you told him that story.
I'm going to tell Annie that you're calling her Andy.
You called her Andy to start with. Go back and review the tape. I was talking to Andy Sabo earlier.
Annie.
No, you said Andy. My ears are good.
Gosh.
There's not much good on me, but my ears still work sometimes. Anyway, so new employee of Channel 8, Andy Sabo, not any relation to Annie Sabo, apparently.
Okay, so obviously we're going to have the name of this podcast be, what, like Smooth Criminal or something? Annie, are you okay?
No, just call
That's
it the
be
Andy
the intro,
Sabo podcast.
Right? Yes.
Or the Andy Griffith theme song. We've got a million different things. We don't plan these out either, by the way.
It's Annie, not Andy.
That's what I said, Andy.
And if her name was Andrea, then yeah, you would call her Andy, but it's Annie.
No, you would call her Andrea.
Or you could call her Andy.
It depends on what she likes.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so now that people have turned the podcast off, we'll get into some
Thanks
real football
to you.
Now. Me? What does that mean? You called her Andy.
Listen,
you started it.
Listen, Captain Interruption.
I'm just saying. You called her Andy.
Let's move it on here.
Thank you.
Let's move it on.
Thank you, producer. You. Listen to producer.
Wait a second. I'll turn his mic off if I knew how. All right. So anyway.
You'll never know how.
I'm gonna call Annie and Andy, and I'm going to invite them to go on a trip with me because they both look like they could use a good flare gun.
Well, everyone needs a good flare gun.
Everybody needs
a good
flare
actually,
gun.
I tell you what, I got to put my money where my mouth is because today is Tuesday, May 28th. I literally have until Friday to go buy T.A. Mahoney's.
And I've talked to Chris Garrido.
You've talked to Chris Garrido.
So I win
Westshore
the bet,
Financial.
The $50. So I don't do that $50 bet from last year.
No, it was not like you have to do it first. It was we both need to do this in the month of May.
But I did it first.
Before we get into actual football talk, I would like to say that was a very Mark-esque segue into the Garrido talk.
Yes.
And you're talking about the middle name, and you said that was phenomenal.
Thank
10
you.
Out of 10. Just want to point that out.
He's learning, but he's got a lot to learn.
Yeah. Well,
all right. So I'm gonna take Andy and Annie, and we're going to go over to T.A. Mahoney's, and we're going to check them out because they've been in business, Scott, since 1948, the same year you were born, 70 years ago. T.A. Mahoney's, family-owned and operated, your number one-stop shop for all of your marine needs. If you went out yesterday,
and
your
flare
boat
guns,
did,
too.
Flare guns, too, old man. And Scott was actually there for the very first flare gun. Which was just a bottle rocket, you know, that you shot up
into
the sky.
Flare gun.
And we're going to go there and check them out. If you were on the water yesterday and you had any problems with your boat, with your trailer, and you think to yourself, man, I'm going to be using my boat a lot this summer, you need to take it to T.A. Mahoney's to get things tuned up and get them right. Now, they're not boat mechanics, but they can handle all of your electronics needs, your trailer needs, any marine supplies that you might need on the boat. And listen, you need a flare gun. We all know that. That's a given. But you also need flotation devices. I don't know if anybody saw the video going around yesterday, a shark circling a boat in Anna Maria Island, a 10-foot hammerhead shark. It's all over the place, in about 4 foot of water, too, by the way, guys. So anyway, you also might want to get a harpoon in case you're on the boat and a hammerhead is circling your boat. You can get harpoons. Where can you get them?
T.A. Mahoney's.
Located where?
Adamo Drive, Tampa.
Been in business since? The year you were born.
1942.
48.
Damn it.
You born in 42?
I was born in 42.
Older than I thought you were.
Actually, 72.
T.A. Mahoney's. Check him out online, tamahoney.com.
Scotty Miller's fast. He's fast. I mean, he's a legit speedster.
Is he fast because he's small? Small guys always look faster than they really are. What did he run?
Adam Humphries didn't look that fast.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on. He
Except
didn't.
When he returned that punt against who was that
in
last
the preseason
year?
Preseason game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looked pretty damn fast. That was a field goal attempt.
That was a kick six. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right at the end of halftime.
Yeah. Listen, he benefited from great blocking, and the majority of guys that were chasing him were offensive linemen. So, you know, basically, once you elude the punter, the holder,
Man.
You know, kicker.
Adam's locker glue where his name tag was isn't even scraped off all the way of Scott's dog anymore.
No, I'm just
saying. I was going to say, too.
I'm texting Adam right now.
Doesn't really matter.
What's that?
It was great, but in the long run, doesn't really matter. It was a preseason game.
He had one against Cleveland, a punt return a few years ago, too. I think it was his rookie year or second year.
No. It was yeah, that was the game where the Bucks had like 10 sacks.
Yeah.
In that preseason game.
Like, we thought, man, their pass rush, they've sure got that problem solved.
Yeah.
Wrong.
I was like, hey, save some for September, fellas. Yeah, okay, exactly. You might get to need some here.
That's historic. That's one of, like, what, two punt returns in Bucks history since 1978? It's not many.
No. Hey, Carl the Truth Williams had a couple himself. Clifton
I think he had
Smith.
Six.
Yeah.
He had
six. It was the kickoffs that haven't had many of those. I think it's only been two of those. Spurlock was the first.
Was it kickoffs?
Clifton Smith was the second one.
Yeah.
I think it were the only
Yeah, because it took, like, what, 20-something years before the Bucks, or almost 20 years before the Bucks
and
had
you know what the greatest thing about them finally doing that was? You didn't have to hear it during every kickoff, the announcers.
Yes.
Buccaneers went 2,187 kickoffs without a return for a touchdown.
Yes.
Oh, that was wonderful to finally get that monkey off their back. So, anyway, all right, going back to the OTAs now. Bruce Arians, Jameis Winston, Bo Allen, a lot of guys talked about the addition of a certain player that we talked about last week during this podcast before it happened, and of course that was Mr. Ndamukong Suh.
Yes, and you call him Mr. because he is deserving of that title, and if not, he will step on you.
I hear he's kind of changed this summer. We got breaking news. He's
engaged.
He's converted to Hinduism. He doesn't believe in hurting anybody, and he's asking Gerald McCoy for advice on helping players up.
No?
No,
he's not. And it's funny, too, because Bruce Arians makes
that
no...
That would be Buck's luck, though.
That would be, yes. But Bruce Arians makes no apologies for wanting a tougher, rougher defensive tackle. And he said that today when Jenna Lane asked him about it. You know, you got to take the good with the bad with this guy, and he's going to get some penalties. And
Jenna Lane asked a question?
She did.
What?
Shocker.
Huh, yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
Been waiting 7 years.
You know, sometimes it takes a little while to come out of your shell.
Yeah, well, she's good to see she's finally coming out of that shell.
Yes. And Bruce said, he said, no, I want to see that. I want to see that look, you know. And she's like, well, like when he gets a foul. And he's like, yeah, why not? I mean, he was pretty adamant. And he says, and I want that to rub off on our defense. And you can just tell that they want to change the attitude and the mentality
and of
this defense.
And for all the Twitter nerds out there that are still whining about Gerald McCoy, And Ndamukong Suh and bringing up stats about this and that, it's over. He's here. And guess who wants him here? Guess who? Here's why Ndamukong Suh is here. Because Bruce Arians wants him here. Todd Bowles wants him here and did not want Gerald McCoy here. It's not saying Gerald's a bad guy. He's a bad player, blah,
and
blah,
Jason
blah.
Jason Light wanted Ndamukong Suh here, too.
Yes. Yeah. They wanted him here. So it doesn't matter what I think, Scott thinks, Twitter thinks, fans think. Yeah. He's here because this coaching staff thinks he is a better fit for this defense. They looked at film last year, and they saw a soft-ass defense. And I don't want to hear any of this, you know, whiny crybaby stuff on Twitter too about, oh, you don't have to be tough and yell and be nasty and mean.
Yeah,
it's
you do.
Football. It's a
football.
Barbaric sport.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not. If you don't like it, then go watch soccer.
Exactly.
Or
Women's World Cup's coming
sport.
Up.
Huh?
Women's World Cup coming up.
Yes.
You can go watch that. It's perfect. Perfect.
Which
time of
I would say the women's U.S. national soccer team was, they were definitely better. They were probably a little tougher than this Buccaneer defense the last few years.
They're awesome. They're tough as nails.
Jason Light wanted Ndamukong Suh, and I wrote about this in the Fab Five. There was some discussion and some talk about possibly making the switch back then in 2015.
Yes, you wrote about it, and people thought you were nuts. You're like, they're crazy. Why would they do that? That's crazy.
Because it's true. It's true.
Scotradamus.
The problem was, and I understand this from a political standpoint, from Jason's standpoint, is
politics.
No, I'm serious. When you're a first-year general manager and you have Gerald McCoy who wants to re-sign, and Gerald's a really good player.
Yes.
And if you re-sign him as opposed to letting him go to free agency and then all of a sudden you have Suh and McCoy on the open market and that's only going to drive the numbers for both those guys up higher.
And there's no guarantee that you would have gotten Suh.
Exactly.
So then you don't have either one of them.
There's a chance you have neither one.
And then you get hammered by the fans.
Then you get fired.
Yeah.
You're a really quick one and done as a general manager of the Buccaneers. Now, the Jason Light haters out there probably would have said, well, I wish it would have happened, you know. Right. And that's, you know, listen, everyone's entitled to their opinion about whether Jason Light deserves to be here or not. But I'm just reporting what I know, which is that was a potential move that they were thinking about back then. And I understand why the move wasn't made. If it had been made,
sure.
Who knows what would have happened? Who knows if Sue would have done anything better or worse or indifferent here rather than Gerald McCoy? We don't know because it didn't happen.
Here's the deal. Statistically, from day one until the last day of the season, they've been pretty darn close in everything, except Sue has more tackles, better against the run,
right.
Tougher against the run. But ultimately, they've kind of been the same. But again, it's about what one brings to the table and the other doesn't. And they want to change the perception and the mentality of this defense by getting a little meaner and a little nastier.
Yeah.
And I think they've done that.
And I either said this on the podcast or I wrote it in the Fab Five, and it's worth repeating. Leroy Salmon was a gentleman on and off the field. He would help quarterbacks up. He would smile and all that stuff. Leroy Salmon was a much more talented player.
Yeah.
He was. He's a Hall of Famer. Gerald McCoy is not a Hall of Famer. And I'm not saying that to slight Gerald McCoy. I'm not being mean to Gerald McCoy. I'm simply telling the truth that Gerald McCoy is a really good player. Leroy Salmon is a Hall of Fame player, and there's a difference. And yes, you can get away with being a gentleman when you're piling up double-digit sacks.
Right.
And you're taking your team to the playoffs.
And when you're voted the NFL Defensive Player of the Year in 1979.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Warren Sapp got away with a lot of stuff that was the exact opposite of Gerald McCoy. He was not the community guy. He was an asshole to a lot of fans.
Even. And media.
But he got away with it because he was a supremely talented player. He was a Hall of Fame player. And Gerald McCoy is not as good as Warren Sapp. And again, not being mean, just stating facts.
And listen, Bruce Arians' job is to win football games. The Glazers are not going to give him an extension because he brings in players that have charity foundations and buys bicycles. That's wonderful. That's great.
That's phenomenal.
I think the Glazers love the things that Gerald McCoy brought off the field. But at the end of the day, Bruce Arians is here to win football games and get this team back to the playoffs. And he felt, and Jason Light felt, and Todd Bowles felt that Ndamukong Suh was a better fit for what they're trying to do moving forward.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what we think, statistics, it doesn't matter. They're ultimately the guys that make the decisions. We don't.
And you can do all of that at minimum for $3 million cheaper.
Right.
At minimum. Even if he hits all of his incentives, you're saving $3 million. You can now sign Devin White, your first draft pick.
And you know what? If Gerald signs for $11, $12 million, good on you, bro. That's great. Yeah. You made more money for the first time than Ndamukong Suh. That's awesome. And I said this in the Fab Five, and I mean it honestly. Gerald's a great guy. Hope he wins and gets to the playoffs this year with his new team, whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's phenomenal. I would love to see him go to the playoffs because he works hard, he means well, he's a guy that deserves to have some success, that deserves to finally get to the postseason.
Yep.
And flip side, I think the same thing for DeMar Dotson. And the clock is ticking on him, and I would love to see this team, for DeMar Dotson's sake, as well as all you Buccaneer fans out there in Pewter Nation that have been long-suffering fans waiting for this team to get back to the playoffs. I know I speak for plenty of people in the media when I say I would love to write about something different. I would love to write about something in January that's not, hey, here's the East-West Shrine and Senior Bowl previews, you know? It would be different, and it would be a nice welcome change.
Yeah, it'd be nice to for us to flip a coin to see who gets to go cover an NFL playoff game on the road, potentially, or a Super Bowl one day.
Hell, we might take everybody. And
everybody.
Just celebrate.
Just max out the company credit card. Yes. Hell with it.
Pop champagne.
We might never
while
see this
it.
Again.
Exactly, yes.
Well,
oh, look, it's a blue moon.
Now,
sure in the playoffs.
One of the questions I had in the Monday mailbag was about, you know, is the run game going to help Jameis Winston, you know, kind of reach that next level? And, yes, a running game is going to be important to Jameis Winston. That goes without saying. That's just football 101, Andy. But what I'm saying is I think the biggest factor, though, and I keep saying this, the defense needs to play well, but I think it still just boils down to how well this offensive line plays because that's really the key. If they can sustain drives, then they can run the football. Then Jameis Winston has more time. And you know, if this offensive line and the defense playing well helps too, because and again, I wrote in the mailbag answering the question that, you know, the Bucs were down early and often last year, and some of that was because Jameis Winston made mistakes. But the thing was, the defense was awful at limiting the points off of those turnovers.
Yes.
How many times when Jameis Winston did throw an interception, were the Buccaneers, did the defense go three and out and get the ball back for him? It just didn't happen. Right. You knew if there was a turnover, it was going to turn into points
Dirk
for
Cutter
most part.
Talked a lot about complimentary football. They didn't play a lot of complimentary football.
And Jameis Winston is going to throw interceptions, guys, but this defense, I think, is going to be better to the point where they can limit. If there are turnovers, they can limit some of the points off of those.
You know who understood that? Mike Holmgren with the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. And that's why they went out and got a Reggie White.
Yes.
And that's why they bolstered that defense so much, because they knew, hey.
Rest in peace, Bart Starr.
Yeah. We're going to pencil in Brett Favre for two picks today.
Yeah.
And we need an equalizer. Because Brett's going to throw four touchdowns.
Right.
But if it's a close game, those two picks could mean the difference.
Didn't Jameis Winston throw four touchdowns in that game against the Falcons but threw two interceptions?
And that was the difference.
They win the game if they're the Green Bay Packers.
Yes. If the defense gets a stop or another takeaway to negate those, then that's what
And again, happen. I'm not making excuses for Winston throwing interceptions and having turnovers, but that's just what he is. He's not going to miraculously all of a sudden become a Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes where he throws seven interceptions for the whole season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's going to throw them because he is going to be a gambler. And, again, just like Dirk Cutter's offense, this Bruce Arians offense is going to ask him to do a lot. He's going to ask him to make those throws that are going to have potentials to be intercepted passes.
And you mentioned the offensive line. And for the people out there who think that I may be too light on Jason Light rather than being too harsh, I'll say this. With Joe Gilbert and Harold Goodwin with this offensive line coaching, we're going to find out if Jason Light really screwed this team with these offensive line selections. Because you look across the board, he inherited DeMar Dotson, and he's re-signed him. Right, that's kind of a given. Still has not figured out which guard to play opposite Ali Marpet. But Ali Marpet was a second-round pick. He was already re-signed to a big contract. Donovan Smith was a second-round pick, already re-signed to a new contract. They imported Ryan Jensen, made him the highest-paid center. And we have Caleb Benenock in the mix. We've got Alex Kapp in the mix, still trying to figure out who that right guard is going to be, whether it's Earl Watford.
Yeah.
But to me, the real indictment on Jason Light is going to be if this offensive line can rebound and play up to its supposed potential – then you can sit there and really point the finger at Dirk Cutter and George Warhop and say, you guys really sucked as coaches, especially with the run game and all of that. And from what we heard, the things that Warhop was asking the offensive line to do, just completely overcomplicated, complex schemes, instead of just keep it simple, stupid, block the guy in front of you.
Right.
You know, and listen, you have to in this day and age mix in zone blocking and run blocking schemes. You can't be one or the other. You have to be both. But every single time they tried to run a toss or a sweep to the outside, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like you're asking for second and 12.
Right.
If that situation happened. And that to me is really where I want to evaluate Jason Light going forward.
You know what, Scott? Jason Light is not going to be fired or get an extension based on Jameis Winston. Ultimately, it's going to come down to this offensive line because Jameis is going to play well if he has time. We know that, and I mean he's got talent. I don't think anybody argues that. His decision making, those are the things that you want to still work on. But ultimately, again, I'm a firm believer in you win football games. The team that blocks the best and tackles the best tends to win. It's not.
It's all about
Bruce
the trenches.
It's not. It's not rocket science.
It's all
football.
About the trenches. You brought it up in one of the press conferences. I think you asked Joe Gilbert about, hey, when you watch the film from last year, what's the big difference? And we say this now during the OTAs because there's no pads. There's no real contact. You can't evaluate these guys at all. And the coaches will tell you this until you get to training camp when the pads do come on. But it's finishing.
Yeah.
They didn't finish last year.
No, they didn't. And we talk about Donovan Smith, and we beat him up last year numerous times. You go back to that game against the Dallas Cowboys when the Buccaneers were in that football game, and Jameis Winston ends up throwing, I don't know, did he get sacked, fumbled, and they picked it up and ran it,
or scoop and score.
Whatever it was. I mean, again, that was a case of Donovan Smith did a hell of a job for 90% of that play.
Right. Just didn't finish.
Didn't finish.
And if he did, I'm not saying Jameis throws the touchdown on that play, but there's no sack, scoop, and score either.
Right.
And so that's really what I want to see. And just you guys are different because this is so new to you, and I used to be in your shoes before I'm talking. I'm looking for you listening out there. I'm looking at the Wonder Twins here, Matt and Taylor. And I appreciate your enthusiasm for coming out here and getting, you know, what I think are the early stages of skin cancer, probably.
Oh, absolutely. Right? I can see a melanoma growing right now on Matt's elbow.
It's worth it.
Of course.
To watch this.
Of course. And I was in your shoes.
Two-time 5-11 team.
I was in your shoes. But I think that when you get to my age and doing this for over two decades, it's like fast forward to camp because all we're really seeing out there is strictly flag football.
Yeah.
It's DBs, it's quarterbacks, it's wide receivers, and linebackers dropping in coverage, and that's it. There's nothing else.
Taylor and I were literally talking about the same thing right as practice began. Yeah. We were like, you know, 2 weeks ago, we were so excited for OTAs, and now we're, you know, we're just like, we're ready.
Right.
We want to see shoulder pads. We want to see collisions and everything
tell
like
you,
that.
After about 2 weeks of training camp, you're going to be like, Jesus.
Can the preseason come around? Yes. Yeah.
And then it's going to be like, oh, God, after the
it's
second
like,
preseason
why do we
game?
Even play four preseason games?
Right.
We should move it to two.
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then halfway through the season, you'll be like, can we just get to the offseason here? The Buccaneers are 2-8.
And to bring it full circle, the reason we say this is because the problems that this team has had have been in the trenches.
Yeah.
Right? It's been – can this team stop the run? Can they run the ball? Can they pass protect better so Jameis has more time to make more accurate throws? Can they get to the quarterback? Are they going to have to blitz? So a lot of the what I call the goodies are yet to be seen. We have yet to see the good stuff, and I want to get to the good stuff. I want to see these blitzes in effect, and we're not going to really see a whole bunch, I don't think, until the start of the season anyways, because I think Todd Bowles is going to be pretty vanilla during the preseason. But the one thing that is interesting, just to kind of hit on another OTA point, and Bruce Arians has mentioned this before, it's worth noting again, that really the guy who's going to end up winning the nickel corner job is going to be the best blitzer, because that position blitzes more than any other position.
Yeah, who told us that? Kevin Ross or was it Todd Bowles? When we had that press conference with the coaches a few weeks
ago. Nick Rapone.
Yeah, you're right. It was Nick, yeah.
Yeah, because the nickel corners actually work with the safeties. And so I think that's a pretty interesting evaluation thing. It's not who's going to cover the slot receiver the best. And the reason why, as Nick told us, was because that position can get coverage from a linebacker, can get backup from a safety. You know, you can double – the slot receiver a lot more easily because of where the nickel corner lines up. You can have that nickel corner be underneath, a linebacker over the top, or a safety over the top, and kind of help a guy that maybe is not great in coverage, like MJ Stewart was not great in coverage last year.
No.
But yet MJ Stewart is a good blitzer, and he might end up winning the role this year because of that fact, rather than his coverage ability.
And they're not going to ask him to do the same things the nickel corner did in the defense last year.
Yeah, which is man coverage, go follow the slot guy all the way across the field.
Right. I mean, that's not his forte. We learned that early and often last year with MJ Stewart. When a guy like Javion Elliott, who's not even on the football team right now, ends up starting and playing better than MJ Stewart did down the stretch.
One thing interesting, too, that Bruce said was 95% of the takeaways that have occurred in these OTAs so far have come from the rookies. We saw Jamel Dean in practice day with an interception. And we've already seen Sean Murphy Bunting have a pick. Mike Edwards had a pick last week.
Devin
White had a pick six. So the rookie class that a lot of people were panning is showing up right now, not in pads. And we'll see if that continues in pads.
And I know they're really the only ones that we can kind of evaluate are the wide receivers, a little bit the quarterbacks and the secondary, but I'm not sure, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm not sure the secondary knows there's no contact allowed.
Yeah.
Because there's been some times where I'm going, oh my God. And I go, you were like today there was a play and you go, oh, I think
Mike
he ended up catching
safety.
That. And I go,
was
oh, I
one
just
that
assumed he didn't catch
down?
It because
yes.
Yeah,
we had I saw a guy wrapped up by the neck. I think it was a little by accident, but that one play, you were like, yeah, I think he caught it. I go, oh, I just assumed he didn't catch it because of the way the whole thing went down. I mean, like, you had a safety, a cornerback, and a wide receiver all coming together on a play. You're going, ew, they don't have shoulder pads on.
By the way, Scott, I'm looking at Instagram right here, and I noticed there's a post here by an Annie Sabo.
Yeah.
So it is Annie, not Andy, as
correct.
You tried to say
yes.
earlier.
No, it's Annie, like I've said from the beginning, mm-hmm. Annie Sabo at WFLA.
We'll listen to the
News
tape.
Channel 8.
You said Andy.
I'm pretty sure it's Annie.
It is Annie.
I actually
official.
Will have everyone comment on it. Yeah. Like when we have the secret word or the special word a couple episodes ago. Just comment
shooting
on whether
star?
Or not. Yeah, shooting star.
Shooting
yeah,
star,
that's what
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up pretty quick. One thing we do want people to do is we joke about Instagram. Peter reports Instagram followers were up to about 6,300. We want to get that up over 10,000 by the time the season starts. So if you are a social media person and you enjoy Instagram, check us out because I think we do as good, probably as good as anybody except the Buccaneers themselves as far as putting up quality content on Instagram, mm-hmm. including behind-the-scenes stuff. I've got a video up earlier today of Jameis and Mike Evans meeting the Wounded Warriors, some other behind-the-scenes pictures, some candids, things like that. We don't just take our photographer shots and throw them up, although we do that from time to time, too, because our photographers do such a great job. Shout out to Cliff Welch. But the bottom line is go check out our Instagram account if you follow Instagram, and I guarantee you, you will enjoy it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, well, Scott will give you your money back.
That's true. And the thing, too, is we get around 5,000 listens per podcast. Our, mm-hmm. our podcast numbers have doubled from a year ago. So
yeah.
the Pewter Nation podcast, thanks to you, Buccaneer fans listening out there in Pewter Nation, we greatly appreciate it. And but if every single one of you that are not following us on Instagram right now goes to Instagram, here's the thing. You don't even have to check out our account. Just go and follow us.
Yeah.
And then you can look at our stuff when it comes across the feed or not.
Hell, you can mute it if you want to.
That's right.
Just follow us.
Just follow us. Give us
just
a good follow.
Just follow us. Get us to 10,000. That's where we need to be and where we want to be. But I do think if you start following us, you definitely will enjoy it. And if you got some things that you'd like to see on Instagram, more press conferences, more videos, supposed photos, let us know in the comments. You can direct messages as well, and we will certainly take that under consideration.
Like some behind-the-scenes photos from the calendar shoot. The Pewter Report calendar shoot.
No, we're Scott nicks that. We're
I
not going to do the calendar shoot.
Oh, my gosh.
Although I'm going to encourage Cliff to take a lot of cheerleader photos this year. We'll do some photo galleries of cheerleaders. That always gets a lot of views.
Sure.
And Cliff does a good job of that. Somehow he has a knack for finding the right angle, too.
He does. He's
really
he's
good.
He's a well-seasoned photographer.
Absolutely.
A pro.
All right. We have another OTA coming up on Friday. Next week, rookie minicamp comes up, so we'll probably wait until next week.
Minicamp.
I'm sorry, not rookie. Regular
mandatory
minicamp. Mandatory.
You know what the difference is?
And we'll get to see Ndamukong Suh for the first time.
Yes. Well, apparently...
It's going to be here Thursday.
Yeah, Sue might actually be on the field on Friday.
We saw that on Andy's Instagram earlier, she said.
Annie Sabo.
That's what I said, Annie Sabo.
Yeah.
Andy said that, breaking news, that Ndamukong Suh is
going to
be in
town. You're the one saying Andy, not me.
No, I'm not. I'm saying Annie every time.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Anyway, Andy said that that she's going to hate us after this. We should probably not tag her in this podcast, Annie Sabo.
She would get
experience.
A kick out of it.
That's what Annie talks
about. Why don't we have Andy on sometime?
We should have Annie on.
We'll do that
we
next week. We'll have Andy on. Not Don Lucas from Channel 8.
Don Lucas.
Is it Dan Lucas or is it Don?
It's Dan.
It is Dan. Yeah,
you're,
thought so.
You're screwing up royally today.
All right. Well, maybe we can get Bob Height back on. You don't remember Bob Height, do you?
Yeah.
Do
Bob
you?
Height and Gail Searns.
I forgot you're old. These two don't remember Bob Height and Gail Searns.
Correct.
We're Channel 8 all the way because we're partners with Channel 8, and we provide great content on Sunday nights. And during the week, Scott taped a segment with Andy earlier today. We'll have that
Annie.
Up. Annie, that's what I said, Annie. We'll have that up earlier.
true story. I was living in Kansas City, and I was a
we've heard
bit
the
of
story about your punt block, Scott.
I'm not talking about the punt block. I'm talking about when Gail Searns actually made history.
First female announcer for NBC Sports. She did a
Kansas
game.
City-Seattle game.
Wow.
And I remember listening to that. And the cool thing was...
And you thought, boy, this is really bad. What's this world
no,
coming
I knew
to?
Who,
women in sports.
I knew who Gail Searns was because we used to...
You were a chauvinist back then.
No, I was not. We used to vacation in St. Petersburg during August. That's how I got familiar with this area. Subscribed to Buccaneer Magazine back in the day. That's how I got started was I used to vacation down here. And
Yankee tourist?
No, I was born south of the Mason-Dixon line, born in Virginia.
Borderline. You guys were kind of flipping-flopping during the Civil War. You didn't know what side you wanted to be on.
I was not alive during the Civil War, so I really don't care. But anyways, I knew who Gail Searns was because we used to watch News Channel 8 back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, either that or Jack Harrison Pulse Plus.
Jack. My favorite Jack Harris story was I was doing one of the Peter Report things, and he's on 970, which is in the same iHeart building as WDAE. And
another partner of ours.
And I was waiting, to talk to somebody. I don't know. Anyway, I was hanging around, and Jack Harris just gets done with his Good Day or Good Morning Tampa Bay show or whatever it is, and he walks out of the studio and he looks at me and he goes, "I once rode the Kumba with Michael Richards from Seinfeld." And he just walked right out of the room. I was like, this guy. I love this guy.
Kumba and Kramer.
Him. Yeah. I think it was before the racist rant from Michael Richards. But anyway, yes, he rode the Kumba with Michael Richards. So anyway.
Fun fact.
Yeah, I have no idea why I just said that. But anyway, the thing is, everybody stopped listening 30 minutes ago anyway.
That's true. Yeah.
All right, well, for Mr.
Whoa. I did not
All right, Curly from the Three Stooges.
I did not have an opportunity
what?
To mention the delicious pork nachos that I had at Heyo, Ford's Garage.
You think I was really going to let that slide?
I don't know. You're getting up there in age.
I actually almost forgot. Sorry.
I bailed you out again.
Good. Well, you know what? Not only did you have pork nachos, my son graduated last Thursday. Guess where we went for graduation dinner?
Ford's Garage.
Heyo, Ford's Garage, located on, we went to the one in Brandon right across from the mall. And because his graduation was at the Florida State Fairgrounds, we went there for dinner afterwards. And everyone there who was in attendance had not had the pulled pork nachos. They all love them.
Yeah.
And literally, phenomenal. Almost everyone, we shared a plate. They were so big. Everybody's like, God, I don't even know why I ordered food.
Right.
Because you almost get filled up on them. And they're like $10, and you will get filled up. They're tremendous. We didn't have any beer. My son's 18, not 21, so there's no liquor flowing. Plus, his dad doesn't drink.
So I've heard.
Yeah, that's the rumor anyway. But we did have some nice other beverages. And we also had, of course, the funnel cake fries, which are phenomenal. Phenomenal. If you've been to the Florida State Fair, the Florida Strawberry Festival, any type of fair, and you've got a funnel cake, now imagine these things tightly rolled, deep fried with powdered sugar and a raspberry dipping sauce or a white chocolate dipping sauce. Your choice. You get one of each. They are tremendous.
Damn.
It'll bring you back to your days of being a little kid. Riding the tilt-a-whirl.
Just want to say congratulations to Douglas Cook.
Yes.
Graduating from Durant, right?
Yes. Congratulations. Yep. With honors. Just kidding. There were no honors. You know, the principal before the thing goes, and we have 400 kids graduating in the National Honor Society, and we had 27 kids been accepted into Ivy League schools, and we had 14 kids going to do that. Man, no, Douglas, none of them. No. Yeah. And then we've got the other 13 here, and your son's one of them. But that's all right.
Is it okay if I share my favorite Douglas Cook story?
There's many, but I don't mind.
Okay.
He doesn't listen to the podcast.
I know, yeah. Well, I loved when he became a teenager and really just became a huge pain in your ass. That was so awesome.
Yeah.
And it was so awesome.
It was like a switch flipped overnight.
I know.
And you've got two of them.
I know.
Yeah, so paybacks are hell.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. No, my favorite Douglas Cook story is when I forgot. What was the player that had a hyphenated name? It wasn't Murphy Bunting. I forgot.
Austin Seferian Jenkins.
I don't know.
Evan
but anyway,
Smith,
he literally
Jason Pierre-Paul.
He literally said
Jude
to me.
IJ Barima.
He literally said to me, "Why did he take his wife's name?" I was like, "Oh boy." Anyway, with that being said, he was able to walk across stage and get his diploma somehow. Thank you, Hillsborough County School Systems. You know, kid can't read a regular clock on the wall. And, here's another great Douglas Cook story. He's going to kick my ass because he can now.
I know, right?
That's the worst part of having a teenager that's 18 and you being an old broken down man like I am myself. But he got a graduation card from my Aunt Teresa up in Alabama, Alabama, Roll Tide. And my aunt, you know, wrote out, you know, "Congratulations, Douglas, on your graduation. Good luck on all your future endeavors. Love, Aunt Teresa and Uncle Jerry." And I know this was what it said because as we were driving, he's looking at the card, and I glance over, and I just casually read it. You know, it took me about 3 seconds, and he's like, "What does this say?" I go, "What do you mean, what does this say?" He has no idea how to read cursive. They don't teach handwriting in school anymore. They really don't.
That's true.
He has no idea what cursive is. Yeah. And I'm thinking,
it's like a
4-year-old. It's not very good.
I was going to say, signatures are like, saying they're cursive in most cases is like stretching it. Because mine's like a T and a J and a squiggle.
So what you're saying is
cursive.
Like for him, Like looking at Egyptian hieroglyphics for you and I would be looking at cursive for Douglas.
Yes, absolutely.
I get a question for all the dads out there who do have teenagers, because I have a 17-year-old daughter, Ellie.
Soon to be 18.
Yes, June 23rd. And
send gifts to Wesley Chapel, Florida.
Yeah.
Put Scott Reynolds. He's the mayor.
Yeah, they'll get it to you. And Logan just turned 14, and he's a big boy. You know,
good size youngin, as my granny would say.
He's about 185 pounds, and
4 foot four.
No, he's 5 foot four. He's growing a little bit.
Okay,
but what is it with? And I want you all, the dads out there in Pewter Nation, what is it with kids? Once they turn 13, 14, they think they can take their old man.
Oh,
right.
Every day,
I used to get hugs from Logan. Right, he would come over and like hug his dad. Now he comes over and punches me in the stomach.
Right.
And has this like little devil may care look in his face, like I'll kick your ass, old man.
Yeah.
And one of these days he's gonna catch me in a bad mood. Right. He's gonna catch me.
Yeah.
Like after a Bucks loss or something, where like I gotta write about this crap again.
Right.
And he's gonna ask for a shot at the title. He's gonna get it.
Yeah.
And he's gonna lose.
Is he?
He's gonna lose.
Are you sure?
Well, listen, Douglas.
Wait till he turns 18.
I was gonna say, yeah. I get 4 years to train, and I've been hitting the weights hard.
You need to, because, again, Douglas, I was the same way with him. We, you know, he always thought he could outrun me. As fat as I am, I could still always outrun him. And he was fast for a kid.
Yeah.
But, again, his legs are, you know, like 1 foot long, right?
I can't catch Logan anymore.
So, well, and I thought I could. So Douglas and I were out in the pasture one day. I'd mowed the field where he would kick his football.
You actually ran?
Out in the pasture.
Listen, get to the story. Well, let me get to the story. This is a true story. All right, so we line up.
I can picture you running.
Listen, this is a true story. This is a true story. This was the last time I attempted to run. This was an
SR
attempt to run.
SR is done.
So, emphasis on the word attempt.
So I, you know, I'm like, okay, he's never beat me in a foot race, and he's talking
crap.
Tell
me you hit a gopher tortoise hole.
I got this. So I get down in the combine stance, right? And this is before the broken back. All right, so I get down to the combine stance, and he's looking at me like whatever. And Aaron goes 3, 2, 1, go, and I come out of my stance, but I don't come out of it. My feet slip from underneath me. I face plant and I crack a rib. That is a true story. So that is when I realized
I know that's a true
my
story.
Life is over. You know I've had rib problems for a long time. Yes, I cracked a rib. Yes.
You told me you broke it surfing.
I did that another time. I've broken my rib
that
twice
sounds
surfing.
A hell of a lot cooler than face planting in the race with Douglas.
And he literally fell down laughing. So that was that's a true story. That's the last time. Now, the fighting thing, yes, he still thinks he can take me. And I told him, I said, son, you probably could beat me in a boxing match because
Douglas,
I don't have a lot of endurance.
Douglas, go for the ribs.
But for
body blow.
But for the first 30 seconds, I'm going to wear your ass out. Now, again, if you can survive for 30 seconds, you'll beat me because I got no stamina. But I got heavy hands. And if you get within range, I'm going to pop you and I'm going to knock
Douglas
you out.
I could coach Douglas to an easy victory. Stay out of arm length from you.
Just jab the
ribs.
Just
dance around for 30 seconds.
Yeah,
dance around and pop him in the ribs.
Hit him once and run.
And he would win. He would win. Now, wait a second. Now you're giving away all the secrets to these guys that I threaten to fight on Twitter all the time.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right, well,
starting with Jude I.J. Barima.
Well, I still could take him with bad ribs. I'm not worried about him. All right, Jude, if you're out there, I haven't went anywhere. I noticed that you moved out of state. That should tell us all we need to know about that.
There we go.
All right, and thanks for costing the Buccaneers a playoff shot 3 years ago with that holding call against the Raiders. You probably fired Dirk Cutter. He's probably responsible for Dirk Cutter being fired. Dirk makes playoffs. He might have got another year.
True.
Anyway, good job, Jude. All right, for Taylor Jenkins, Matthew Matera, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook. Sam, we'll see you next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out.
Out. Oh.